Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Food Network Obsessed. This is the podcast where we dish on all things food with your favorite chefs, food influencers, and Food Network stars. I'm your host, Jamie Sire, and today we have a former footballer turned kitchen pro back on the podcast to talk about his show, where home chefs get the shock of a lifetime. He's a chef, restaurateur, Food Network star, and host of Outchefed. It's Eddie Jackson. Eddie, welcome to the podcast again. You are technically our first ever repeat guest. I'm not sure if that was on your 2023 vision board, but we are so happy to have you back.
You know what? Going into 2023 is one thing I want to accomplish this year. And I want to be back on Obsessed.
Well, listen, we are in the business of making dreams come true. So we're just happy you said yes. No, we are so excited to chat with you again. Last time we talked all things football, all things barbecue. And if you haven't had a chance to listen, I definitely recommend going back and checking out that episode. We really got into that journey from football player to Food Network star. What have you been up to since we last spoke?
Oh, you know what? I've been up to a lot of work with Food Network. You know, I'm still doing a lot of my Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm. This new show, Outchef, of course, you know, season two is out right now on Food Network. So that was a lot of fun filming that. I have a little son, and then I have a 11-month-old little girl now, little Aria. Between the two, they're keeping me busy.
And how is the summer going at Rose Hill?
You know what? Rose Hill is doing very, very well. We had our 5-year anniversary a couple months ago. You know, it's summertime, so people, you know, all the kids are out of school, so we stay pretty busy over there.
For those who aren't familiar, give us the lowdown on Rose Hill. What is it? What's the vibe? Yeah. What's the food like over there?
So, yeah, Rose Hill Beer Garden, you know, we're located in Cypress, Texas, which is right outside of Houston, a suburb. And so basically, it's just a one-stop shop for fun, food, and family. We have 8 different food trucks set up around this 3-acre property. And I have different concepts at each one of these food trucks. I mean, from barbecue to Colombian fusion, pizza. And I just open up Eddie's Burgers there. So I do upscale craft burgers. We get our meat from West Texas, a private ranch that has Texas Wagyu beef. And we use that for our burgers. These burgers are outstanding. I'm not just saying it because my name is on it, but they're pretty good. But no, it's a family fun atmosphere. We have a huge playground for the kids, live music, 48 beers on tap.
Wow.
You know, it's just 3 acres of fun.
Why did you decide to go the route of kind of like food truck, beer garden versus a traditional restaurant concept?
Well, for me, I got my start in food trucks. I started with food trucks, you know, years and years and years ago. And I wanted to open up a restaurant, but the first thing that I wanted to do is kind of open up something that I knew that I would love doing from the jump. and food truck park is what came to mind. I've always been fascinated with food truck parks. You know, that's the thing here in Texas. You know, you go to Austin, you see these food truck parks everywhere. And so I wanted to open up one here in Houston. I was actually the first one to on this level to open up, you know, 3-acre food truck park. And it was a hassle in the beginning, but now we're going 5 years strong and we, you know, rotate our trucks out ever so often. We did a, I don't know, I think since I saw you last, we did a show there. It's called Food Truck Face Off.
So oh, love
the,
that.
At the beer garden. So we did that food truck face off at the beer garden. So it's been very well.
That's awesome. I love that live music also kind of a big part of the vibe and atmosphere there on the weekends. We know about your love of food and football. How does live music kind of fit into all that?
Well, for me, growing up, music was something that was very important to my dad. Is a huge music fan. He loves jazz, like old school funk music, blues and stuff like that. So for me, growing up, that was all that was blasting through the house. Old school records, vinyl is what we, you know, we have. My dad still has a pretty nice collection. So that's how I grew up, is just, you know, just food and sports and music. And so music is really near and dear to my heart. I love live music, going to concerts and things like that. So for me, I have to have live music at the beer garden.
Yeah. And like you said, family friendly as well. And as we've covered at the top of this interview, you have a growing family. What is it like to just see, you know, families kind of coming together and your place kind of being the epicenter of that?
Yeah, for me, I'm really big on community and the area that I live in Cypress, Texas. Like I said, northwest suburb of Houston. It's a real tight-knit community. And so for me, one thing that was important for me actually is to make sure that this venue that I built, this beer garden, was family friendly, because surrounding my place of business is nothing but families, you know, household, you know, with families inside them. So I wanted to make sure I had a communal spot where everybody could go, young and old, and have a good time.
That's awesome. I love that. And I love what you're building down there and also what you're building on Food Network. Of course, as you mentioned, your new show, Out Chef, well, not so new anymore. I guess it's in its second season, but so many unique surprise elements that make it really an exciting watch. How did the show come about?
Well, so the show, you know, it was presented to me a few years back. And I had never heard of any or seen a show, you know, like it, you know, to where we have these home cooks, just everyday people that basically the people that watch Food Network, you know, just these home cooks that love Food Network. That never really was a show where they could go on. You know, you think about all the other shows that are on Food Network, you know, now and also in the past, it was always, you know, a restaurant chef, you know, on Chopped and things like that, that were the ones competing. And there really wasn't a show where a home cook could go on and have their little shot at fame. And I feel like this show gives those home cooks that opportunity to be on Food Network and not just sitting on the couch and watching it.
Yeah, no, I think that aspect is truly unique, especially just how it kind of all unfolds. And there's so many moving parts. Mm-hmm. You have these, like you said, home cooks, they're confident home cooks. They arrive thinking that they're entering some sort of audition. And then, you know, little beknownst to them, they are thrown into a head-to-head battle with a world-class chef. So it's not just like home chefs competing against other home chefs. This is like kind of an unfair battle. What kind of reactions do you see from these contestants?
I've seen it all. I've seen people that literally were lost for words. I've seen we've had some people that cried. Literally, people cried. People get the shakes.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of everything. You know, it's so cool because you have these home cooks and they watch in Food Network and they watch all these culinary shows on TV and they see the, you know, Alex going to Shelley's, the Robert Irvine's, and the list goes on and on and on, the who's who of, you know, like Food Network. And now you're face to face with the, you know, you're a fan of theirs. So now you're face to face with, you know, say Robert Irvine. And not only that, you get to meet him, but then you hear you're going to compete against them. And so, you know, just as an average home cook, that blows your mind. And, you know, I get this question all the time, like, oh, it's not real. Like, it's 100% real. These people are in shock.
And how often are they like just completely starstruck by like you said, they're meeting maybe one of their idols, but also like having to compete against them.
Yeah, I mean, the reaction, I think that's the best part of the show, is seeing their initial reaction when they find out who they're going to compete against. You know, I remember the first time, this was in season one, when Alex, you know, Alex, Iron Chef, Alex Gordon Shelley, right? Everybody knows Alex. And when the home cook found out they were competing against Alex, I thought that she was going to leave. I thought she, no, seriously, you know, because they have the opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I don't want to do this. I was like, you know what? I think this girl is going to leave. I think so. She was so like, she was happy, but she was so nervous and scared. I was like, there's no way she can cook now. But it worked. It ended up working out for her, though.
Has anybody left?
No one's left yet. Don't wish that on me. No, I know.
I'm just curious.
Two seasons. No one has left yet.
Because obviously we probably would not see that if they opted out. And I know it's only the second season, but I'm curious, you know, there are very, very, you know, avid Food Network fans out there. Perhaps they've seen the show now that it's in its second season. Has anyone figured out like what was happening before you revealed to them?
It was only one person this past season that we kind of thought knew what was going on, but we really couldn't tell. Because the point is, it's like if they figure it out, mm-hmm. they still have no idea who they're going to be competing against. So, you know, we kind of figure like if someone has watched season one and they see me when I introduce myself, you know, their antennas may start kind of moving a little bit. But there's no way they would know who they're competing against. And like, that's when the magic happens, when you get to meet like someone that you really respect and look up to, that you've been watching on the TV for years and years and years. And now you're standing face to face with, say, Robert Irvine. That's the real beauty of the show.
Yeah, no, I guess that's a really good point. Like, even if they like at some point figure it out, it still does not change the fact that they have a very daunting task ahead of them. And there's no way to prepare for that, even if they, you know, knew far in advance. What are some of like the best strategies that you've seen from these contenders once they do find out, you know, who they're competing against, what the challenge is, all those sorts of things?
Yeah. So, you know, once all the nerves calm down and I actually present them with the challenge, and basically I give them a star ingredient, both the home cook and the chef, they get a star ingredient and it's easy. Just give me your best dish that you can make with this ingredient that I give you, whether it's, you know, like shrimp or lobster or, you know, lamb or whatever, you know, the ingredient that I give you, I want you to make your best dish. Now for home cook, I think the best strategy is to just cook like you're in your home, like you're in your kitchen. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of times where some of the home cooks, because they're cooking against a world-class chef, they think that they have to zhuzhify and fancify, you know, whatever they're cooking. I'm like, no, don't do that. This person has been doing this for 30 plus years. And a Michelin star, you know, chef and things like that. Just do what you normally do. Because that's the kicker, because they don't know who the judges are.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, so that's your best piece of advice, I guess, is just to kind of stay true to mm-hmm. yourself and what you normally would cook at home for your friends and family.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do they get any advantages? Do they get any help? Do they get a chance to kind of look around the kitchen before they have to start cooking so they kind of can get an idea of what they're working with? Or are they just thrown directly into the fire?
Well, me personally, I suggest that we just throw them in the fire because I just think it'll make good TV. But after make it fair, we give them a chance to walk around the kitchen just to get accustomed to where everything is as far as like, you know, produce and all of your spices, pots and pans, so that once time really starts, you know, they're not running around looking for certain things. They already kind of have an idea where things are in the kitchen. But that's on both sides because, you know, neither one of these, either the home cook or the chef, you know, this is a new territory for them. So they have to kind of check it out and see where everything is before they get going.
Now, are the professional chefs at all like taking it easy on these competitors, or is it full like knives out?
Well, the first season we had a couple of chefs that kind of, I wouldn't say taking it easy, mm-hmm. but I guess they didn't fully understand that, you know, like you need to try to win. But because we had, I think it was pretty even in the first season where the home cook won, you know, half the time, and then the chef won the other half, obviously. But so, you know, word starts to get out, you know, in the Food Network community amongst the chefs. And so when some of, you know, I asked some of them to come back this year, oh, they were cooking like they were on Iron Chef. I'm like, I'm not trying to lose.
They have more to lose probably than the competitors have to gain, I would say.
Someone started a group text, I guess, amongst all the Food Network chefs. Like, hey, if you go on Eddie's show, you better bring your A game.
I love that. Word's getting around. I mean, you talked a little bit about what the competitors' reactions are when they see who they're going up against. What is it like for some of these, you know, world-class chefs to come in and kind of just see that reaction coming their way?
You know what? I got to tell you, all of the chefs that have been a part of this show, I mean, all the way down the line, just everyone has been amazing. Because for me, I think it's so cool to, you know, you're on TV and, you know, you have this name, but there are people out there that look up to you and you have fans. And then when you come out and I, you know, call the chef out and they get to meet the home cook. And to me, I just think that is so rewarding to see someone. It's so excited to meet you, you know? So yes, this is a competition, but at the same time, it's a humbling experience.
Coming up next, Eddie gives us more scoop on the season 2 of OutChefed and explains how he finds strangers to be the blind taste testers when we come back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You mentioned the judging a little bit. For anybody that hasn't had a chance to watch the show, first of all, you're missing out. But this is not your typical panel of culinary experts either. You're literally going out into the streets to grab four strangers for a blind taste testing.
Yeah.
First of all, how stressful is that whole aspect of the show?
Well, I'm going to be 100% honest with you, Jamie. It's not stressful at all.
It's not.
As you know, I have a pretty gigantic personality. So I like that's my favorite part is to go out in the streets and try to find people. And it got to the point to where I was getting so many yeses. It was like, Eddie, we have to get no's. Like, we can't have the whole segment can't be yes, Eddie.
Yeah.
Because I love people. I love, you know, I'm the type of person, like when I go into a new city, I will go and sit at the park and meet five people and just talk to people. And so I found that it was, you know, easy for me to find people to come and do this random thing and eat some food and they don't know who's cooking. But we got a lot. It's New York City. So some of the people a little bit special that we could not bring on TV. Trust me.
What? Why? You're afraid they were going to like swear or what? What were you afraid
swear,
of?
Swear, sing. You know, one guy was riding a bike with a Speedo on and then he said yes. And I was like, sir, we can't bring you into the studio. Thank you, though. Thank you for that laugh.
Thanks, but no thanks. I mean, what's your best story from going out on the streets and trying to, you know, recruit people to be judges?
This is a very true story. So I was looking for someone and I was in, I forget the name of, is it Washington Square?
Washington Square Park. Yeah.
Yeah. Washington Square Park. And there was a fortune teller. And so I go and I sit down, I sit Indian style. And she says to me, she was like, don't even speak. She was like, you're doing something. And she says, someone with a big name is going to go down tonight. And that's when Alex Guarnaschelli was the cook. Uh-huh. And she lost.
What?
I'd never met this lady before in my life.
I mean, did she see? I mean, obviously she saw the cameras, right? Or
no, I just told her that we're filming. We have a cooking competition going on. Didn't tell her there was a home cook or there was this famous chef. Just that there was a cooking competition.
Wow.
And she said, somebody with a big name is going to go down. Seriously.
It freaked me out.
So then we walk off and we're going to the next place and she's screaming, where's my $20? Where's my $20?
Oh my gosh. Listen, everybody's hustling in New York City, you know? you gotta make your money somehow. Wait, so she was not one of the taste testers. She was just a character as you were looking for them.
No, after that bit of information, I was scared to bring her in the studio. She probably was like, I don't even need to taste the food. I've already like, tasted it.
She's like, I know exactly.
I've already who my tasted winner. It.
Oh my gosh, I love that story. Well, by the way, the home cook only needs one vote from these strangers to win the $5,000 prize. Why just one vote? Is that kind of to even the playing field a little bit?
Yeah, you know, we think that it evens the playing field because let's face it, you know, we have these, you know, home cooks and they're just used to, you know, cooking for their family, maybe some friends. And to be matched up against an Iron Chef, you have to find some way to make it a little bit fair. So out of four people, if that home cook can get at least one of those votes, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And it happens.
Yeah. I mean, well, clearly, what do you think is the biggest name to go down? Is it Alex?
Yeah, maybe. I think maybe Alex would be the biggest name because she's an Iron Chef. But the thing about it is that with these home cooks, and now mind you, the people that I find, they have no idea who's cooking. They don't know that it's a home cook or, you know, world-renowned chef. They have no idea. All they get is two dishes. Now, what I think and what I've come to understand is like normally when the home cook gets a vote or two votes or whatever the case may be, it's that the people that are eating, it triggers something with them. You know, maybe it reminds them of their mother's food or their wives or their grandmother or something like that. There's something nostalgic about it because it's just good old home cooking. You know, it's no caviar. It's nothing. You know, it's not, you know, a top tier dish. You know what I mean? And so I feel like that's how they get those votes sometime.
What is it like when that home cook gets that very precious vote and you get to reveal that to them?
It is so amazing to see the reaction, not only from the home cook, but most of the time these home cooks, they bring in their family, their friends, their spouse, their kids. So a lot of times, you know, the family is offset in the green room and it's been, you know, at least three or four times where I announce that, you know, whoever the home cook is that they've won, you can hear the family screaming from across the set and you can hear them running down the stairs, you know, so it's just really cool. But not only that, the chefs and we haven't had an instance to where the chef wasn't just really happy for the home cook to be able to have that experience. You know, this is something that these people will never forget for the rest of their lives. You know, they watch Food Network, you know, religiously, and they've always wanted to be on Food Network, you know, just one time because this is the show that gives them that opportunity. And then you go on and you actually win a Food Network show. Like they go back home, they're the talk of the town. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're the talk of the town. The PTA meeting is about them, not the kids.
What a wide range of emotions for these people to be going through in a single day, like coming in thinking they're auditioning for one thing, actually competing for another. And then if they do end up winning, I mean, like, what a roller coaster that is for them. What are the contestants doing with their prize money if they should be so lucky to win?
I've heard everything from give it to charity to most of the time it has something to do with kitchen equipment. Because most of these home cooks, you know, they're like avid cookers. They're cooking every day and experimenting and getting ideas from what they see on Food Network. So a lot of times I hear they want to upgrade their, you know, kitchen appliances and accessories and knives and pots and pans. A couple of times I heard they want to go on a tour and go to Italy and do all these culinary culinary trips, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a very cool experience because, like you said, you know, they're meeting their idols and then maybe walking away with a little money as well. What is your favorite part about filming the show?
For me, it's the look on the home cook's face when they find out that it's a competition, but when they get to meet someone that they kind of idolize, I think that's cool. It's just like when I was growing up, I was a huge Bo Jackson fan. Mm-hmm. I've never met Bo Jackson.
Oh, really?
But I couldn't imagine, like, you know, in my younger years, like when I was playing football, if I would have got to meet Bo Jackson, I would have.
And then had
out.
To compete against him.
And then had to compete against him. I think it's the same thing. If someone is like a huge fan of Robert Irvine and you watch Robert Irvine, you watch Restaurant Impossible. And then the next thing you know is he's standing in front of you all muscled up. And then now it's like, well, actually, you two are going to be competing head to head. Like that, for me, I'm a competition junkie.
Yeah.
And so that just kind of gets my juices flowing when I see that.
You're like literally watching their head explode as this reveal is happening. Any upcoming projects that we should be on the lookout for the rest of 2020,
2023? Yeah. So obviously, you know, I do all of my Christmas stuff. We got Christmas coming up. And it sounds funny saying that in the summertime, but I've been doing holiday shows with the network for a while. And for me, like I've been with the network now for, I think, maybe like 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. And Jamie, you know, like everyone is just so cool. And like, we're like a little, even though we may not see each other all the time.
Yeah.
But when we do, it's just like time never passed. And so I've just been having a blast with everyone from the network and I'm just enjoying the ride.
It's been so awesome to just see your progression, obviously, from Food Network star to where we see you now hosting your own show. And we look forward to seeing the rest of the episodes this season. We are going to finish things off with a little rapid fire round, different than the last time. And then we have one final question for you, which you have already answered, but we'll see if the answer is different this time. So rapid fire questions, most intense pro chef on the show so far?
Rocco.
Okay. I could see that.
Very intense.
Your favorite summertime activity?
Favorite summertime activity? Ooh, that is difficult. I would say drinking Palomos by the pool.
I mean, that sounds like pretty amazing. All right. Along those lines, your go-to impressive dish you like to cook on the grill?
Ooh, that's a hard one. You know, I grill everything. I would have to say two things. I love to do fish on the grill. Mm. So like a red snapper, or this is Texas, a good beef rib, because you can't go wrong with that.
Everyone's going to be happy with that one. Travel must haves.
Travel must haves is, so I have this thing to where I go to department stores and I get like 50, like, test colognes, you know, you put it in the little bottle. So I have a collection. And so when I travel, that's what I take.
You just take a different one each time?
No, I take like 20 of them. every day I have a new scent.
your like little plastic bag is just filled with cologne samples.
Cologne samples. Seriously, I got like 50 of them.
All right. Well, what is the next vacation destination?
Next vacation destination is Lisbon, going to Portugal.
Oh, amazing. When is that taking place?
That's hopefully, and if I don't get booked for anything, August.
Oh, lovely. Well, we'll be following along on Instagram. And final rapid fire question. Who would you like to go up against in an episode of Out Chef?
That's easy. I would like to go up against Bobby Flay. Bobby's my man. I love Bobby. Me and Bobby have this relationship. We're, you know, we're like bros, but we like to compete against each other. We did a barbecue brawl a couple seasons ago, and I need a rematch because he ended up, he beat me. So I need a rematch.
All right. A rematch maybe on the way. All right. Final question, not rapid fire. And this is, what would be on the menu for your perfect food day? So we want you to take us through like breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. You can travel, time travel, spend as much money as you want. Any chef can serve these meals. You can cook them, whatever you want. We just want to hear what your perfect day is and if it's different than last time.
Okay. It's definitely probably different. So for breakfast, I'm not a big breakfast guy, but when I am in the mood for breakfast, I love a good breakfast taco.
Very Texas of you. Yeah.
Very Texas. Get breakfast tacos anywhere at the gas station on the side of the road. So breakfast tacos.
Love that.
For lunch, I'm a sandwich guy. Mm-hmm. I love sandwiches. So like a good classic, like corned beef, like deli sandwich, like New York style.
Yeah.
You know,
like
what
Katz's
I mean?
Katz's deli.
Yeah, like
kind Katz, of thing.
Like that. That's my jam for lunch. And I've been on a sandwich kick for a while. I've been doing this thing where you've seen the thing on this Ben Bar where they do like the chopped sandwiches where they take all the meats and they chop it up with the lettuce and stuff like that. So I've been doing that for like
you have.
Two years. Yeah, oh, I've man. Been doing it.
Only a few months late, but.
You know, right? I was kind of mad. I was like, why didn't I think of this?
I know. Sometimes you see those TikTok trends and you're like, that is a really good idea.
Yeah, exactly. For dinner, my deathbed food is Jamaican oxtails, Jamaican style oxtails.
Yeah.
That is my deathbed. I mean, I used to go to Jamaica all the time and I just fell in love with like real Jamaican Caribbean style oxtails, like
so
with
good.
Pimento seeds and all that stuff and Scotch bonnets. And so that would be that. And then for dessert, I would have to have, I haven't had this in a long time. My grandmother used to make the best caramel cake. And I tried to recreate it and it's just not the same. I would go back in time to get Annie Ruth Jackson's caramel cake.
Oh.
I've tried to recreate it, my aunt, my dad, and it's just not the same.
It's not the same.
No, she lies in her recipes though. If you ask her, like she always leave out just like, you know, it's going to look good, but she's purposely leaving. Yeah.
You think she does it on purpose or was it just like, she just kind of winged it when she was gone.
I really think we just started asking her for the recipes too late and she was too old. And so she's just forgetting stuff.
Yeah. she's not like purposely trying to take all these secrets to her grave.
You sure it's supposed to have orange juice in this cake batter?
Oh man. Well, I hope someday that you are able to, recreate that recipe just as you remembered it. But either way, it sounds like a wonderful food day. And once again, congrats on season 2 of the show. We're looking forward to watching many more.
Oh, thank you so much, Jamie.
You can catch Eddie on the second season of OutChefed Thursdays at 9:30 Eastern on Food Network and streaming on Max. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review. We love it when you do that. That's all for now. We'll catch you foodies next Friday.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.